Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will go to your calls in just a few moments. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Mentioned yesterday, our resource of the month, a new book titled Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy by yours truly. Yesterday, I mentioned a little bit about the succession of nations that Daniel speaks of. And it is a powerful proof that the Bible is, in fact, a reliable authority. Daniel is writing 6 centuries before the birth of Jesus Christ and yet is able to give a succession of nations from Babylon to the rise of the Median Empire to the time that Cyrus the Great unites the Medes and the Persians and develops the greatest empire up until the advent of the Roman Empire. And then after that, you had the empire of Alexander the great Grecian ruler who wept because there were no more lands to conquer. But even he fell short, just shy of his 33rd birthday. He died, and 4 generals divvied up all that he had done, culminating in the Seleucid evil empire. A man of intrigue, a Greco-Grecian tyrant that ultimately would seek to Hellenize the Jews, that would desecrate the temple, defile the sanctuary, and ultimately die an untimely death. All of this still celebrated by Jews during Hanukkah, freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus. Ultimately, all these kingdoms culminate in a kingdom that will never end, never fail. Again, the succession of nations predicted in Scripture, proof positive that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. I developed the book around the acronym STARS because I want you to be able to demonstrate that unlike the Quran or other religious writings, we can put our entire faith in the Word of God. Again, the book available all this month for your support of the ministry. You may want to get extra copies for Christmas gifts. Please be generous as you give and recognize that the ministry of the Christian Research Institute is making a difference literally around the world. In fact, I want to read a letter and then we'll go to our callers. This letter touched me, deeply touched me. I read it this morning. It says, Dear Hank, I realize you receive many letters, but felt compelled to write to thank you for a part of your ministry that most people are not yet aware of. Please allow me to briefly explain. I'm currently incarcerated in federal prison and have been since 2011. When I arrived at FMC Lexington, I noticed that there was a huge void in our prison library. Few books were available that dealt with doctrinal and apologetic issues, and with almost 2,000 men many of whom embraced various worldviews, the body of believers was in desperate need of many of CRI's resources. Well, I had no money, but I decided to write CRI asking for numerous books, articles, and DVDs to equip the believers in prison to know why they believe, what they believe, and to answer objections to the historic Christian faith. Less than 2 weeks later, the chaplain called me into his office and told me that CRI had sent numerous books, multiple Christian research journals, topic-specific articles, tapes, and other resources. Needless to say, I was shocked. If that wasn't enough, one of your staff members, Paul Young, took the time to not only send all of these wonderful resources, but he also wrote a handwritten note to tell me that he loved me and that God wasn't finished with me yet. It was life-changing. Well, I was designated in Lexington for 39 months, and in no less than 10 separate occasions, I wrote to CRI requesting more books and resources, and every single time, my requests were granted. By the time I left Lexington, our library was filled with resources, and men are now equipped to defend against everything from evolution to the kingdom of the cults. I was then transferred to a minimum security camp at Atwater, California, and once again, I saw a library deficient of apologetic resources. So, I wrote CRI once again, and once again, I received books, magazines, and other literature, all of which has inspired the men and helped us grow in our faith. There is simply no way for me to express how deeply thankful I am for all that you have done, for all that has been done for those of us in prison. And then he appends Hebrews 13, verse 3. I thought it was important that the people who support your ministry realize what CRI does in the trenches and behind the scenes, things that wouldn't be known unless I wrote this letter. My only regret is not writing sooner. Thank you also for reminding me that God's grace even extends to those of us who don't need the God of a second chance, but rather the God of another chance. I will always love and appreciate you. Well, this is a letter not written to me. It is written to me, but it is written to those who support what we do at the Christian Research Institute. Quite frankly, I would not have known about this either if I hadn't received this letter. And so I want to express my heartfelt thanks and appreciation to those who support this ministry prayerfully and financially. You can support this ministry again all this month, and when you do, be pleased to send you a copy of Prophetic Stars and the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy as my way of saying not only thank you, but equipping you. Again, available on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And for those who join the monthly CRI support team, be pleased to send you a personalized copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Well, if you're hanging on, we'll go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, Amy first, in Dallas, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just recently started listening to your show, and I listen to it every day on my way home from work. And actually, my first question, and I will try to make it brief, is about the Hebrew, the Black Hebrew Israelites. Now, I'm actually Jewish. I grew up in a traditional Jewish home. I got saved and born again and accepted Jesus as my personal Savior when I was 30 years old. So I really didn't start reading the Bible until then. You know, growing up, we really just basically celebrated the high holidays. And, you know, funerals and weddings and things were Jewish. But when I came to know Christ, I just recently heard about these people on YouTube. I never even knew they existed. And I was just, I can honestly, I was somewhat offended, but I learned that, you know, I I didn't take offense to everything that they were saying, but I was just wondering, when did this whole organization start?
I kind of spaced out. Who are you talking about again?
I'm sorry?
I kind of spaced out. Who are you talking about again?
Oh, the Black Hebrew Israelites.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And this is an umbrella term, actually, that comprises a large number and variety of groups that started at different times and different places. But the basic commonality is that they believe that they are the literal Israelites, the literal descendants of the promise. And some follow forms of Judaism and covenant law. But, you know, obviously there is no historical basis for the claims that these groups are making that they constitute the literal descendants of ancient Israel and of the promise. And in fact, the biggest issue here is that being a follower of Jesus Christ, as you well know, has nothing whatsoever to do with lineal descent or genealogy or ethnicity. It has to do with your relationship to Yahweh, the God of Israel, revealed in Jesus Christ. So remember Peter, who at one time didn't want to go see Cornelius. And the reason was is that he did not want to commune with someone thought to be unclean. And then God showed him clean and unclean food in a vision three times. And when Peter finally goes to Cornelius, he confesses, I saw this vision three times and finally realized that God does not show favoritism. In other words, it is not an ethnicity, it is a relationship. And this is true, of course, not only in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well. Those that left Egypt left in a mixed multitude. Again, they were followers of Yahweh, the God of Israel. So Egyptians that heeded the plagues, not the Pharaoh, they became true Israel. Same thing with Rahab and Ruth, and the list can go on and on. But the point is always the same. Anyone who follows the true God, and in the Old Testament, the types and shadows pointing towards Jesus Christ, is a friend of God.
Yes, and I just wanted to clarify that because they seem to be very divisive. They don't seem to be, like, attracting people to follow Christ. They seem to be more territorial or militant in their approach. And so I just wasn't sure what they were really about. So.
Yeah, and they're often, as you point out, they're racist and actually, in many cases, reject Jesus Christ as Messiah. So it is a muddy mixture, to say the least.
Yeah, and then I had just one more question,
sure.
If I may.
Yeah.
Because I'm Jewish, I've followed the Old Testament growing up, and not in a Orthodox sense. However, when I became a Christian, I realized certain churches that I would go to, they would use the verse in Malachi regarding tithing, religiously, to be like before they would collect the money, and almost as like a scare tactic, using that verse. However, on the other hand, they would say that we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. So how do you, I don't understand why they justify using that scripture, which basically we're not under that law either because the temple has been destroyed. So that scripture in Malachi has really no grounds for collecting a tithe.
Yeah.
And I'm not against tithing at all. I just was trying to realize, like, why do people pick and choose what they want to use from the Old Testament when
sure.
it comes to things they want or need, but yet they'll disregard everything else and not preach the Ten Commandments, which are still in effect today?
Yeah, well, good point. And I think that there are a couple of things that could be said about this. The first thing is that the principle of tithing is a principle that's universal in that we, as Moses said, tithe in order to reverence the Lord our God always. So in that sense, tithing has a universal application. But you're also right in pointing out that the New Testament schema is quite different. It is not tithing as much as stewardship, meaning that you hold everything that you have with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit. We're not owners, we are stewards of all that we have. And in the end, God will call us into account for what we did with what we had. I often talk about tithing as the training wheels of free will giving. So you tithe, and then you learn very quickly that you cannot outgive the Lord, and that gives you more and more momentum to enter the sphere of free will giving. But yeah, as you also correctly note, you don't ever want to use this as a scare tactic. If you're manipulating people into giving money, you're better off not receiving it as an institution, and they're better off not giving them. We have to give with a grateful heart, not out of compulsion. We're up to a station break. We'll be right back with more answers in just a moment.
The fairy tale is alive and well in today's popular culture. Indeed, it has a strong and enduring appeal for both adults and children because its very structure resonates with our deep-seated longings. But when that traditional structure is abandoned, the moral and Christian value of fairy tales can be lost. Holly Ordway explains the difference in her article, Once Upon a Time, The Enduring Appeal of Fairy Tales, in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back with more right after this. Endless predictions about end time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. For nearly 40 years, the Star Wars motion picture saga has captivated audiences the world over. With three new films on the horizon, Star Wars remains culturally relevant and iconic. Its music, sound, visual effects, characters, and extensive merchandising resonate with millions of people. But technical brilliance and commercial success do not always equate with truth. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal and fine-tune your cultural discernment with the article, May the Force Bewitch You, Evaluating the Star Wars Worldview. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is our pleasure to be able to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. I think about this all the time because the older I get, the more aware I am of my own mortality and the fact that I will stand before God and give an account for what I did while in the flesh. And think about how temporary life is. I'm 65 now. My dad died when he was 74. If I live that long, that'll be about 9 years. If I live a little longer, my mother's 90, well, it's another 25 years. But the point is, it's very short in perspective of eternity. And so we should really give our lives to do those things that matter. When I ask you to support this ministry, it is not for some vainglory, not for some momentary time and space. It is about eternal verities. And again, we cannot do what we do unless people like you stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Brian next in Oak Park, Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Brian.
Good evening, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well.
That's good. My question is, I would like for you to, if you can, briefly, without being too explanatory, sometimes say, would you be willing to explain your views and interpretation with the sequence of events starting with the rapture of the church or Christ's second coming, all the way up until the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem? Just briefly, can you outline the sequence of events as...
Yeah, you're not coming through very clearly, but I got the essence of the question. Look, the fact of the matter is, biblically, what's going to happen is Jesus is going to appear a second time. Plain and simple. When he does, he will put all things to right. There'll no longer be sin or Satan. There'll no more be death or disease. Nothing impure will enter the New Jerusalem, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So when Jesus appears a second time, here's what happens. Those who have died will be resurrected. And we who are still alive, if we're still alive at the time, we will be translated, as it were, from mortality to immortality. And together, we will be with Christ forever. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, therefore comfort one another with these words. So there's a very clear indication in Scripture that when Jesus appears a second time, that is the advent of the eternal state. And then we'll learn and grow and develop, albeit without error, as forever we explore not only the one who saved us by his grace, but also the recreated, reconstituted universe, which now groans in travail, but then will be liberated from its bondage to decay. Back to the phone lines, Pamela in Clovis, California, listening on Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi, Harry.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I have a question. I am married, and I have been separated 4 years, and I'm going towards a divorce. But I wanted to know, I'm a little stumped about getting remarried after my divorce. According to the scriptures, I know that I'm allowed to get a divorce, but I want to know if I can remarry without committing, being guilty of adultery.
Well, if you're allowed to get a divorce biblically, then you can get remarried as well. Remember that the scriptures are fairly clear in this regard. You look at what is said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul points out that if an unbelieving spouse leaves, the other party is not bound in that circumstance. If, however, the unbeliever is willing to stay in the relationship, the other party must not get a divorce. So the whole point of this is reconciliation. God wants us to do all we can to demonstrate how He has reconciled a world to Himself. And we're microcosms of that. In our willingness to give reconciliation to those who have harmed us, we are pointing to the ultimate reconciliation that is given to us by God. But, you know, reconciliation always takes two parties, someone who is wanting to forgive, hopefully that's you, and someone who is willing to be forgiven. If there isn't another party that wants to be forgiven, then reconciliation doesn't take place.
Right. And I am all for reconciliation, but we've been separated 4 years now, and he told me the other day that he doesn't want to reconcile. And so I have been staying married only because I know, well, according to scripture, I read that I am to remain unmarried while my spouse still lives. So I don't want to spend the rest of my life alone. I do want to remarry if someone comes along, but I was feeling that I would feel guilty that I'm committing adultery.
Well, I don't think it's quite that cut and dried, and I would recommend two things. One is we did an article on biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage. That article is up on the web at equip.org. If you can't access it there, hang on, we'll send a copy of the article to you. I think it'd be greatly helpful. Secondly, I think it's important for you to not take this step alone. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, a principal and a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, then what you want to do is, within the context of your church, you want to seek marital guidance. You want to seek counsel so that you do what you do, not in isolation, but within the community of faith.
Okay.
Make sense?
That's very helpful.
Yeah,
that
hang on and I'll send...
Helpful.
Sure, Pamela, hang on. I'll send the article out to you.
Okay, thank you.
Bless you. And we'll go back to the phone lines, talk to Anthony in Topeka, Kansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Anthony.
How you doing, Hank? Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, my question was, there are some people out there, including some people that claim they were former evangelicals, to say, well, Jesus never existed. Now, how do we counteract that?
Well, I mean, people can say that there are little green men on Mars, and I don't think that you give them a whole lot of credibility. Internet lies and sensationalism spread all over the world before truth has had the chance to get its boots on. So when someone is saying something absurd, well, sometimes it's not wise to answer a fool according to their folly. The reason I say that is there's no credible scholarship today that rejects the historical Jesus. You can find bloggers and sensationalists and sophists that do this kind of thing, but not any credible historian. In fact, even some of the most vicious enemies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, people like Bart Ehrman, who has gone so far as to say that Jesus is a false apocalyptic prophet. He's the chair of the, or at least the former chair of the Religious Studies Department, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and has made a cottage industry out of defaming our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even he has asserted in a volume that Jesus Christ actually was a historical character, a false apocalyptic prophet from his perspective, but a historical character nonetheless. So, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of biblical evidence for the historical Jesus, and there's lots of extra-biblical evidence as well. You think about credible historians like Josephus or Tacitus or Pliny the Younger, and the list goes on. So you can reconstruct highlights of the life of Christ completely apart from the Bible.
Oh, I see. Okay. Can I ask another question really quick?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been reading Tim Keller quite a bit. Have you heard of him, and what do you think of Tim Keller?
Yeah. I think he's a very credible Christian leader.
All right, that's great. And one more. What do you think of Jim Wallace, founder of Sojourners Magazine?
I would have to refer that to our research department. I'm just not up on him.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Hank. God bless you.
God bless you. Yeah, if you want to hang on, we can get some information to you. What I don't know, the research department surely does know. So hang on, we can get that information out to you. I'm not going to take another caller until we get to the next section, because I don't have much time in this section of the broadcast. I do want to underscore in the time I do have left before we go to break that when you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute's many outreach ministries with your ongoing support. In appreciation, you receive a personalized copy of any one of my books. It's as easy as going to the web at equip.org/donate. Again, equip.org/donate. I was thinking about that in that just before I came into the studio, I was personalizing a whole stack of books, people that are now monthly contributors. And you can't imagine what that means to the ministry as we go forward. As more and more people transition into regular givers, we have a base to build on so that we can not do deficit spending, which is something that the government's good at, but we shouldn't be good at. And of course, the only way we can do all that we're doing around the world is through faithful supporters like you. I mean, this is not a solo ministry. It's not me. We have people that are working at the Christian Research Institute diligently. Great is their reward in heaven, but there are many people who support the ministry outside these walls. And I'm just deeply grateful for those people and all they have done and what they may do in the future. But again, everything that you do is a matter that is settled between you and the Lord. You give not to get, but you give to lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. For as our Lord said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Involvement produces commitment. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Always love getting the letters. Also, while you're on the web, I've mentioned the Christian Research Journal and some of the articles in our journals. You may want to subscribe. That way you get the journal on a regular basis and you can be ahead of the game. Subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
The plural marriages of Joseph Smith have become a public relations nightmare within Mormonism. In late 2013, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints began publishing essays on plural marriage, awakening many members to the distressing realization that Joseph Smith, their beloved founder, was Mormonism's first polygamist. Against biblical prohibitions, Smith married 30 to 40 women, half of whom were teenagers or already married to other men. Also, in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, discover how Old Testament legislation prohibits the practice of polygamy as part of universal moral law. Subscribe to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man so stay tuned. Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the Global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega-languages. Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God in Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Organ transplantation has saved many lives, but ethical questions persist regarding the methods of organ donation, including how doctors determine whether a patient has actually died. Christians should soberly assess the impact that organ donation has on the perceived value of human life. Read Dr. Richard J. Poupard's article, Postmodern Death, Organ Transplantation and Human Value, in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Brooke listening in Richmond, Missouri, Bud Radio. Hi, Brooke.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate all of what you do on the radio. It's very helpful.
Thank you.
A very dear friend and I, of mine and I were having a discussion the other evening, and we got on the subject of, and he's a true believer too and a very wise man, but we got on the subject of the age of the earth, because you hear a lot anymore about the age of the earth being, you know, over 6,000 years old based on biblical principles. And then we got on the subject of the dinosaur age and how in the Bible it talks about, I believe when God created the heaven and the earth, he said a year could be like 1,000 years. And back in the early stages of the Bible, a lot of people lived, it's documented that they lived 700-800 years until they were 700-800 years old. So I wanted to understand your perspective from a biblical basis on the age of the Earth and where the dinosaur age came into play.
Yeah, well, the first thing that I would say is that you will not get any sense whatsoever of the age of the Earth by reading the Bible, because the Bible simply does not give us a chronology. What you find in Genesis is some genealogies, but those genealogies are not sequential. They're symmetrical. They're laid out in a particular fashion because there's a chronological purpose to them. So there are 10 prior to the flood, 10 after the flood, very much like what Matthew does with the 14, 14, and 14. So the age of the Earth is not something you determine from special revelation, but rather something that you determine from general revelation. And I think that all of the evidence in general revelation points to a universe that is far older than 6,000 years. So special revelation doesn't answer the question, but general revelation does, and I think quite clearly. I've given many, many proofs of that in my book, The Creation Answer Book.
Okay, I appreciate that. And I appreciate your insight.
You got it. And again, I won't rehearse all of the things that I usually do when I talk about the age of the Earth, but the evidence, I think, is quite clear. God has placed his imprimatur on the universe, and God has not given us a textbook filled with lies or distortions. If he had, we wouldn't be able to do science. Science arose in the context of a Christian worldview, not a universe ministered by moody gods. You couldn't figure out what was going on there, but God is consistent, and we can think God's thoughts after him, and as a result of that, we've been able to do things that are simply amazing. Think about the fact that we are able to unlock the energy in mass thanks to Einstein's famed formula, E equals mc squared. I mean, that in itself is amazing. Looking at Time magazine, November 2nd issue, front cover, fusion. You have clean energy virtually forever with the fusing of atoms. Now, we are not able to do that very well at present, but that's something that looms on the horizon. And if it becomes a reality, the change that will make to civilization is simply astounding. But we do have fission. That's how you have atomic power plants and atomic bombs, and that fission unleashes the energy in atoms, and it is by splitting the atom, and it's quite extraordinary. Of course, there's toxic waste that becomes part of the process, but nonetheless, enormous energy is released. So you think about all of these things and recognize, wow, how could this have taken place in any other than a Christian worldview in which you have consistent, dependable laws? Not laws that change over time, but laws that are consistent. Not laws made by moody, capricious gods, but by a God who is loving and who has chosen to reveal himself, his divine nature, his eternal power through what has been made, and therefore men are without excuse. I've written about this in the Creation Answer Book. You can find it on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Catherine. She's listening in Chipman, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Hank, you know, I don't mean to make you repeat something that you said on an earlier show, but when I heard you say it, it just lingered with me, and I, you know, would read the Bible and something, you know, would keep coming back to me. And then the Lord turned my hand to Isaiah 34:4. And my question is, how do you read Revelation 6:13, which talks about, you know, the host of heaven, you know, what that part actually doesn't. It actually talks about the stars falling to the earth like a fig and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig. Tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. And then subsequent to that, I read Isaiah 34:4, and in that it says, "And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and their host shall fall down and as the leaf falleth off the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree." And I noticed the words dissolved, and I thought, because your answer previously was, you know, if a star falls to the earth, it'll destroy the earth, and they're light years away, and how is that possible? But if they dissolve, Hank, it's totally possible. Right?
Well, yes.
Like, but if they dissolved before in the sky.
But this is like you and I having a conversation about cats and dogs falling out of the sky and talking about all the vagaries that are involved in such an act, when all I'm trying to communicate to you is that it's raining hard, as it most certainly was yesterday here during the Panthers-Colts game. But the metaphor does not walk on all fours. And when you tether yourself to Scripture, reading Scripture in light of Scripture, you see that this is judgment language, because you should not only see this allusion in Isaiah chapter 34, but also in Isaiah chapter 13 and throughout the Old Testament. In fact, Jesus, the heir to the linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets and a far greater prophet than them all, uses that same kind of judgment language and applies it to the fall of Jerusalem. So you don't want to take that in a wooden literalistic sense, otherwise all that Scripture will give you is nonsense. You want to read it in the sense in which it's intended. So when the Bible uses language that is judgment language and you try to make it walk on all fours, nothing escapes but utter nonsense.
Okay, so, well, let me respond to that. So, you know, and I appreciate that, and but I can't help but take it literally, and I'm still doing that, and y'all have to forgive me. I read the Gospel of Thomas, for example, and Jesus says in verse 111, "The heavens shall be rolled up and the earth before your face, and he who lives in the living one shall neither see death nor fear, because Jesus says, he who shall find himself with him, the world is not worthy." So he's saying before your face, this event will happen. Now, when I look at Revelation 6:13, and you'll have to just bear with me, but Revelation 6:13 goes on, and then when it finishes, it goes into Revelation 7, chapter 7, sorry, it's Revelation 6, and then it goes into 7, 144,000 are sealed, then there's the multitude that's in heaven.
So who are the 144,000 before you go on?
Sorry?
Who are the 144,000 before you go on?
Well, you know, there are any people that the Lord has taken, right? He says in Thomas that he chooses you, one out of
But why are you referring to a Gnostic gospel? And we're having a conversation about how to read the Bible rightly, and you're referring to a Gnostic gospel. Far better that you learn how to read the authentic gospels than refer to Gnostic gospels.
Well, you know, that's fine, and I do, and I just recently looked at that because another caller had mentioned Mary at the final verse in the Gospel of Thomas, which is what prompted me to even look at it. And so, but my understanding of the 144,000 is they are any number of people from they're virgins. They're people who have, you know, not been with women, and I assume that means since they were reborn, because these can be Jews or non-Jews. They can be anybody the Lord chooses who will be. I know there are people who think they're from the tribes. I don't know. God knows. It says they're from the tribes.
Well, but you can know
that the tribes have been scattered all over the earth.
Yeah, but you can know, because the 144,000 are a complement to the great multitude, and they're not two different peoples, but two different ways of describing the same purified bride. Literally, the 144,000 and the great multitude are comparable to the lion and the lamb. By the way, try to take that literally. Jesus is a lamb? Jesus is a lion? Obviously, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he's the lamb slain before the foundations of the world, but Jesus Christ is a real man. Both of them are saying something about Jesus, lion and lamb, that we would miss if that language wasn't used. But if you take that in a wooden literal fashion, you would have a real conundrum on your hands. But anyway, just as John is told about a lion and turns to see a lamb, so he's told about the 144,000, and he turns to see a great multitude. And therefore, the 144,000 is to the great multitude, but the lion is to the lamb. The same entity seen from two different vantage points. From one vantage point, the purified bride is numbered. From another, she's innumerable, a great multitude that no one can count. Think of some of the metaphors that John uses in Revelation. I'll give you one that you can give a very clear answer to. When John says, golden bowls full of incense, does he mean that literally?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I can tell you the answer to that question because John answers it. He says, these are the prayers of the saints. So if you would take golden bowls full of incense, literally, you would miss his meaning. Or the seven golden lampstands. Are we to take that literally? Jesus is walking amongst seven golden lampstands? Well, if we do, we miss the meaning again because John interprets for us. He says, these are the seven churches. So the point that we have to recognize here is that if we don't read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended, if we're off on subjective flights of fancy as opposed to tethered securely to the text, reading Scripture in light of Scripture, then we miss the meaning of Scripture and we might as well be reading Gnostic Gospels. I was going to have to leave it at that, Catherine, because we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour, continue answering your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you're hanging on, I'll get to you. If you're dialing in, you can start dialing right now, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can keep dialing for the next hour because I'm going to keep answering questions for an hour. I'll record my answers to your questions and play that during a time when I'm traveling. So you can start calling right now, 888-ASK-HANK, and for the next hour I'll be answering your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. For everybody else, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow with more of the show. Thanks so much to those of you who stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design
In Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.